97.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
It's going to happen. Judah, God's chosen, was giving an amazing assignment. The assignment was rebuild the temple. We capture the glory of a former season, and at the same time, watch this, begin a new and exciting chapter in the history of Judah. They were uniquely called by God to establish his name in the earth by doing something none of their enemies thought possible and none of their forefathers ever envisioned. They were expected by the sovereign God to finish what was started but never completed. Yet this desire of the divine came at an extremely awkward and very inappropriate time. For while God was requiring them, and this is important to note, while God was requiring them to complete the assignment of the reconstruction of the temple, they were at the time of the instruction a disappointed and demoralized people in a distressing, depressive season with decimated and diminished resources. Okay, let me take you back to it because it's important. At the time God told them to undertake this mammoth, massive assignment of rebuilding the temple, they were a disappointed, demoralized people in a distressing, depressive season with decimated and diminished resources. Okay, I'm going to come back and get you because I need you to grasp this powerful instruction and the time frame by which it was given. When they were given the instruction of rebuilding the temple, they were disappointed and demoralized, they were distressed and depressed, and they were broke and wounded. Okay, some of y'all ain't getting it. God doesn't wait till you're healed to call you to be great. In fact, what's awkward is sometimes God will give you big stuff to do when you got little resources to do it with. Some of you are sitting here today looking at your life and noticing that God is not minimizing the expectations, but God is actually strengthening and expanding the expectations. Why? Because God doesn't give you an excuse when he's got a purpose for your life. In essence, it was a tough, tumultuous time, but despite all of it, God still said, build it. Yes, accept the challenge of my will, and no matter how overwhelmed you appear to be, embrace the promise, Rashawn, and watch this, y'all, go after it. Yes, go get it done, try, face it, don't settle, but believe in me and what I'm calling you to do. In other words, God is saying to them, as he's saying to us, all things are possible to those who really believe. Well, I declare that as Judah had to rebuild, so do you. You may not be assigned to construct a beautiful monumental temple, but your assignment may be to build and rebuild the kind of life that God's presence can dwell in this season. Your assignment is to live a life so worthy until God purposefully promotes you and intentionally prospers you. In this season, your assignment is to be whole and happy, joyous and intentionally prosperous. Your assignment in life is to be driven by an internal intense passion to please him, and no matter what you go through, to live with such passion and such tenacity until everything that is assigned to your life will get done or you will die trying. In this season of assignment, you are to manage moments of pain and rejection with dignity, driven by a spirit of forgiveness. In this season of assignment, you are to get the most out of everything. Let nothing, someone holler, nothing. And I mean nothing. Someone say nothing. Cause you to mismanage, misappropriate, or abort all that God has created and called you to. This is the season you enjoy your life. Someone say, I'm going to enjoy this. This is a season you wake up every day excited about what God is doing with you. I feel like preaching. This is the season that you look at every hater, every enemy, and every negative person and tell them, keep your behind over there because what God is doing with me. I don't have time to play no games. This is the season that the blessings of God is going to overtake you. You're going to be waking up in a crisis and waking. You're going to go to bed with a crisis and wake up with an answer. This is the season. Your enemies wish they were you. This is the season. Trials are turned into triumphant testimonies. In this season, God will make sure it happens again. And I need someone to get excited, because what looked like it wasn't ever going to happen, not only is it going to happen, but it's going to happen in such an incredible way until God is going to get glory out of your life. I need you to shake your neighbor's hand one more time and say, neighbor, get excited, because this time it's going to really happen. Like Judah, God is calling you to get it done. He's calling you to face your challenges and get it done. He's calling you to face your mountains and get it done. He's calling you to face your difficulties and get it done. He's calling you not to be discouraged nor distracted another moment longer. For weeping has endured, but joy has come in the morning. He's calling you to believe that all things are possible, and I'm more than a gift. I am grace personified. And if you look at my life long enough, you will be amazed and who I'm becoming, because when it looked like it wasn't going to happen, not only is it going to happen, but it's going to be so extraordinary until God is going to promote me publicly, because I'm a powerful example of what happens when you trust him. It's going to happen this time. But the question becomes, how is it possible? With everything against you, how is it possible with limited resources? How is it possible? Well, listen and watch God. Verse 6, listen at verse 6. It says, you're going to succeed. Watch this, Gerald. It is going to happen this time. You're going to succeed. Y'all ready? But not by military might or by your own strength, but by my spirit. Uh-oh, it's going to happen, Brianna, but not by the stuff you've been depending on in the past. Uh-oh, it's going to happen, Sakura, but not by the way that you've been thinking it would happen. Uh-oh, it's going to happen this time, but not by the methods that you've been using so you could get credit. Uh-oh, it's going to happen this time, but it's going to happen in a way that's going to be so supernatural until everything and everybody around you is going to be scratching their head, because they know what you got in the bank, they know what you got in your hand, but they forgot whose hand you're really in. Can you slap your neighbor high five and tell them it's going to happen this time? But not by might. Alliances built on mutual goals grounded in military strength, or by power, individual ability, or intelligence, which creates the illusion of superiority. It's going to happen this time, not by might nor by power, but by my pneuma, by the Spirit of God. It's going to happen based upon the authority of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in every believer and functions out of us when we operate in faith. Here's the joy of this sermon today, is some of you have been carrying the burden of a vision that he spoke, but seemingly he's been holding back provisions. But I came to declare that watch this, the God who spoke it is the God who will provide for it. And if you will stop trying to get credit for your life and follow God, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or hope for, because this time it's going to happen. Does not mean that God's not going to use people. It just means that you will not be beholden to them. It does not mean that God ain't going to use systems. It just means that they can't take credit for your promotion. When God gets ready to bless you, don't nobody get glory but him. And so the people who've been trying to manipulate and control you and didn't take credit for you, the devil is a lie. In this season, everybody that think they're going to take credit going to have to flip it and give glory to God, because God's going to do such a supernatural, monumental, incredible, unbelievable, extraordinary thing until everybody that's got an opinion is going to have to flip it to your evidence of favor. So God told me to rest, and God told me to tell you to rest, because it will happen. God's about to take the weight off you and make it easier. Someone say easier. Sweatless victories are coming. One phone call is going to change your destiny. One resignation going to open up a career. God is about to make, God, I feel like preaching. God is about to blow your mind and show you that your life ain't never been dependent on what people thought about you. It's always been based upon what God created you to be. Somebody ought to throw your head back and holler, I got it this time. Because this time is on God. It used to be on me. I used to think think I had to outperform people. But what I've discovered is I ain't got to outpreach you. I ain't got to outteach you. I ain't got to outsing you. I just got to be faithful to who I'm created to be and watch God make a way. Okay, so here it is. God says to his people, it's not going to be hard this time. I'm going to make it work for you. So here's what's powerful. What makes it possible, it's three things. Watch this. It's possible, one, because you are devoted to who God is. You're devoted to who God is. Notice in the text, he's called Yahweh. And the Lord says, Yahweh. That is the formal cultic name of God, Yahweh, Lord. But notice at the end, in the King James, it flips and there's something added, something added, something added, something added. Listen to what's added. And the Lord of hosts. Woo. Wait a minute. We ain't heard the Lord of hosts much. So what is God saying? God's saying, when I get ready to bless you, I'm going to organize your life around my authority. And stuff that thought it was bigger than you is going to have to face me. Okay, that was your shout moment. Lord of hosts means that God is about to step into his military garb and go to fighting in your name. Okay, y'all still ain't got it. Here's what's scary. When God becomes the Lord of hosts, half the people you worried about don't matter because they get canceled out by him showing up. Gerald, here's what's amazing, and I'll move on. The Lord of hosts says God stands ready to attack anything that fights against your purpose. So here's what's going to happen in this season. You're going to have to defend yourself less because you're going to be too busy building. Okay. Y'all ain't helping me. Give me something on these monitors. Here's what's scary. You spent most of your life defending yourself so you get little done because you're always fighting. But I need you to look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I ain't fighting this year. Because I got a hammer and some nails and not a sword. This is the year I construct my vision, not worry about who's trying to destroy my reputation. How is it possible? It's possible because you're devoted to who God is. Who is God? He's the Lord of hosts. He stands ready to guard your name, your reputation, and your vision. And all you got to do is trust in the Lord. Some of y'all can't shout on this, but there's about 80 of y'all in here that's about to get happy. Because in 17, folk mess with your name and your ministry. They mess with your gift and your assignment. But in 18, you ain't got to fight. You just got to recognize that God is the Lord of hosts. How is it possible? Because you're devoted to who God is. How is it possible? Because you're dependent upon what God declares. Listen to what God declares. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Okay. You got to start believing, Pastor Gloria, that the Lord don't just talk the talk. He ain't just talking to hear himself talk. Have you ever talked to somebody who you know all they like doing is hearing themselves talk? But here's the thing I love about God. You ready to shout, Josh? The thing I love about God is whenever God says something, he is incarcerated by his promises. His character is incarcerated by his promises. He ain't God if he don't keep his word. And he ain't God if he don't keep the word that looks like can't nobody else make it happen. He only is God because he's so faithful until you can depend on that whatever he says is getting ready to happen. So what you learn to do is to depend upon what God is declaring. What does God say, Richard? Not by might nor by power. In other words, you're not going to need foreign allies to fight a spiritual battle because in this season, my word is going to come to pass. But his third thing, how is it possible? Because you are directed by what God is doing. You're directed by what God is doing. Notice, you're devoted to who God is. You're dependent upon what God declares. And you're directed by what God is doing. Watch what God is doing. God says, I am doing new stuff with old people. I need about 8 of y'all to get really excited, because your season ain't over. He's just starting a new chapter. I got to get out of here. I got to catch a plane. Here's where I'm excited about. St. Paul ain't in an old season. We are an old building in a new day. I need to encourage somebody and tell you that even though you woke up in the same house, you ain't in the same place. Even though you got the same hairstyle, you got a different way of thinking. I need you to get excited, because God is directing you into things that's going to blow your mind. I'm trying to excite your spirit. I don't care nothing about your body today. I want your spirit to get excited. Because if your spirit gets excited, you'll start doing some faith stuff in 18. This is the year that God directs you to do amazing things. Listen to what he tells them. Go build a temple with limited resources. Go do something without what other folk needed to do it. Let me mess you up. Your reputation is about to explode, because you're going to get stuff done with less than what other folk had to have to even try. Boy, I feel a good preacher in my spirit. I need you to point to yourself and tell yourself, you don't need what everybody else needs. Because you got God, and because you got God, he is the great equalizer. They needed $100,000. You just need $1,000 and a praise, and God is able to take you. All right, let me move. Watch this. And so, how is it possible? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You're devoted to who God is. You're dependent upon what God declares. And you're directed by what God is doing. But here it is. If we are devoted, dependent, and directed by God. If we are devoted, dependent, and directed by God. If we are devoted, dependent, and directed by God. God's going to do 4 things, and I'll leave y'all alone. And then we'll go watch them Jaguars beat up on them Bills today. If you are devoted, directed, and dependent by God. If you are devoted to God and you're dependent on God and then directed by what God says, God's going to do 4 things. Watch this, because the first thing is that he's going to subdue what seems insurmountable. Well, I really thought we were going to shout right there. He's going to subdue, verse 7, bless me, watch this, Papa. He says, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear before you. Okay, Tiffany, I thought y'all were going to shout. Obstacles as big as mountains are going to disappear in front of you. Okay, watch this. Notice, he doesn't move the mountains. Because you got to at least identify what you're dealing with. Some of you have gotten angry that God let you see the obstacle. But you don't understand, there is no victory without the identification of what you're defeating. Okay, so I'll shout by myself. He's got to let you see you ain't got no money. So when you produce the business, everybody goes, how did you do that? Because the joy of this is that, watch this, Alexis, he didn't remove the debt. He let the debt stay till your faith matched it in action. He only subdues what you identify, but doesn't allow to conquer you. Okay, I'm doing the best I can on this first Sunday. So watch this. He will subdue what seems insurmountable. Secondly, watch this here. He will supply what's been lacking. Okay, Sabrina. He says in verse 7, he says, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear. You will rebuild the temple. Verse 9, he says, Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of the temple. He will finish the building. Verse 10, they are disappointed because so little progress is being made. But they will see Zerubbabel continuing to build the temple. Okay, you ready, Ken? It looks like ain't nothing happening. But Tamika, stuff keeps moving. Even if ain't nothing happening. Okay. Watch this. Can I get excited and tell you, you ain't broke. You just waiting on the next allocation. See, some of y'all don't know how to shout because you forgot to look at how many times you were at deadline. And God either made a way or extended it. I need you to look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he is a 23-hour and 59-minute God, you know. All the old folk used to say, he may not come. See, George, Pam, some of us are too smart. Some of us, PJ, are too smart. Some of us got too much education, Gerard. And so we've lost some down-home faith stuff. So let me come get you. He may not come when you want him, but when he comes, he's always. Why? Because he's bread when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. He's a bridge. Said, when you trust me, I'll supply. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, God will supply. Is there a witness in here today that knows that God will? But here's the third thing. I'm moving to close. He will sustain you until you finish. See, here's the thing, Alexis, that blessed me is that I knew what you needed. And we've been talking to God about how to do it. And God decided to talk to Claude about what to do to get to the moment. And then the moment was birthed out of the obedience. And when the obedience met the word, it produced a move. And a move moves you past lack into abundance because now it ain't on you, it's on God. Look at somebody and say, God will keep you until you finish. See, here's the goal of the enemy. It's Z. His goal is to make you so discouraged until you give up. But notice, Jessica, when you hold on to God's unchanging hand, God will keep you until you finish. I need you to prophetically tell people on your pew, say, neighbor, this year you will finish everything God's ordained for you. Somebody take your right hand, reach behind you, and pull some stuff to your center and say, stuff I ain't finished this year, I will finish, because God is able to give me what I need to finish what I started. All right, let me get out of here. Say, neighbor, Happy New Year. God is up to something. And I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Because when you're devoted, and when you're dependent, and when you're directed by God, God will stamp you as his choice. I'll see y'all next week. Is there anybody here that's a living witness that sometimes folk put their mouth on you and say you ain't the one? But you ought to turn to your neighbor and tell
on the shoulder and say, I got good news. You're God's choice. And because you're God's choice, he's going to stamp you in front of your enemies. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside still waters. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Watch this. And he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some folks said, you won't go make it. But tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're God's choice. And because you're God's choice, no weapon formed against you. Because you're God's choice, everything is going to work out. Say it. Say it. Say it. Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Say it. Say it. Say it. Everybody stand. Not by might, nor by power, Tamika, but by my spirit. Not by water nor lemons or sugar, but by my spirit. Sabrina, not by cars and Johnny rehabbing houses, but by my spirit. Here's been your mistake. You've been carrying weight that George ain't yours to carry. Okay? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. You speak it into the atmosphere.
This is Truth Is Holy with you, Ken Jones. Now, here's Ken.
I declare that a chair is going to meet me in five steps.
You gotta get down.
And God releases angelic
you gotta cut him
assistance.
Off. I hear him. Oh.
So you start walking towards what you spoke.
He's starting over again, I guess.
And you'll walk into,
huh?
Watch this. God said, you speak.
This is Truth Is Holy with Ken
God,
Jones.
I believe you didn't create
now,
me.
Here's so Ken.
Still on.
So I speak a happy marriage in my future.
He's still
and
on.
You start walking, and you start walking. Watch this. God ain't gonna let you have to go down to get it.
This is Truth Is
okay,
Holy.
Okay, y'all don't know where
Ken
to shout.
Jones.
He's still on.
Now, here's Ken.
He's going to make it come up to who you are. Tell your neighbor, no more decline.
You hear?
Here's where some of you been. God's been speaking some big stuff to you. And you saying, but God, I don't have the stuff to start. So hear the question. Yeah, Elder Banks, what's in your hand?
Okay.
Well,
how you
God,
doing, dear?
I'm so tired.
I got some water coming out the faucet. I can afford a couple of lemons.
You want one of these?
and I can get some sugar. Now, how you gonna take what everybody else got and make mine special?
Where you know? Where you want it?
Please look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor. We all got access to the same stuff. What's gonna make your stuff different? Look at them with a swag and say, favor.
This is Truth is Holy with Ken Jones. Now, here's Ken.
Hello, hello, beautiful people. Hello, beautiful people of Jacksonville, the nation, the world. Hello, how are you? I hope all is well with all of my beloved brothers and sisters. I pray that this show catches you in good health. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for your love, your manifold blessings, O God, that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We ask, O God, that you soothe our hearts and give us understanding how to be better people, that we may be your people who are called by your name, that we may be better people, neighbors one to another. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, how are you? I hope all is well with you this evening. I want to let you know I want to listen and hear from you today. I'm looking for the single mothers that are on food stamps. The phone number is 296-2251. You know, it's a live show. It's the same number, 904-296-2251. This is Ken Jones. Christ Zion Inc., ChristZion.com, Christ Zion Facebook, Bible Voices Facebook, Ken Jones Facebook, Community Works Facebook, ChristZion.com. Single mothers on food stamps trying to make it. The elderly want to hear from you. Those that have to decide whether to get medicines or food or pay a bill. There's more people in poverty today, and it's not, you know, the minorities, but it's disproportionate. As you know, we're 13% of the population, so there's others that are in poverty, our light-skinned brothers and our brown brothers and our Indian brothers and sisters, we're all in poverty. How do you feel about it? 904-296-2251. How are you this evening? What's on your mind? Politics, social issues? Hey, we got civil rights. Equal opportunities for all people, all races in the United States. How far do we still need to go to ensure equality? The Mexican border, the Syrian refugee crisis. What constitutes a fair and ethical United States immigration policy? The Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965, also known as Hart-Teller, which was, as you know, done by President Johnson. It abolished an earlier quota system based on national origin and established a new immigration policy based on reuniting immigrants' families and attracting skilled labor to the United States. Over the next four decades, the policies put into effect in 1965 was greatly changed in the demographical makeup of the American population. As immigrants entered the United States under new legislation, came increasingly from countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America as opposed to Europe. The 1965 law that gave the Republican Party its race problem. During the long 3-year debate over the Immigration Act of 1965, members of Congress debated the wisdom and the morality of removing the 1920s era quota on immigration to the United States. Not far from the center of this debate was the nettlesome issue of race. The people, as I quote, of Ethiopia have the same right to come to the United States under this bill as people from England, people from France, people from Germany, and the people from Holland, griped Senator Sam Irwin, a conservative Democrat from North Carolina. What do you think about it? Should they revoke the quota? As it has been stated, that we want people from other countries in Europe and France and Germany and Holland and Belgium. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about not having enough food to feed your children as a single parent? You, the elderly, the senior citizens, which a lot of us are forgetting about, that need Medicare. I believe that we all should be on Medicare if you're over 65 years old. All your medicine should be free. All your health care in America should be free. That's how most of the countries throughout the world administer to their people. There's no hope. I look at the people and there's no hope in their eyes. There is nothing.